Welcome to the Addison Free Will Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. Here you can find sermons from our Sunday and Wednesday night services. You can find more information about the ministry of Addison FWB Church on our website, addisonfwbchurch.org.
I like the message in that song. And there's something that we need to understand about that. It is done. Forever.
Amen.
It is done forever. The last words that Jesus spoke on the cross was tetelestai. I think it's how some close to that. So they tell me that's how it's written. But it means it is finished.
Amen.
Now, when you folks know I do carpentry work for a living, and when I'm finished, what do, Earl? I've been out to your house working. I leave. I leave. What did Jesus do when he finished the work that he had to do here?
He left.
He left.
He went home.
He left. Let's stand and open our Bibles to Luke chapter 22. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 24. And that's why you put these glasses on, so you can see. Luke chapter 24, verse 36. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted. And it seemed like this verse keeps coming back all day, doesn't it? And suppose that they had seen a spirit. And they said, and he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do these thoughts arise in your hearts?" Let's pray. Father, we love you, we praise you, we exalt you. Lord, we realize today, Lord, there's nothing that we can add to the plan of salvation, that you completed it, Lord. We are so thankful, Lord, because we'd mess it up. We love you. We praise you. Help us to go forward as men and women that love the Lord, telling the grand old story of a risen Savior, not just today, not just on Easter, but every day we could brag about how our Lord gave his life for ours. And it is done in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. I didn't read the next verse, but I'm going to before I go on. He said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself." He didn't say I'm somebody else. He said, "It's really me. Look, it's really me." Now, you and I have never saw Jesus, but yet we believe, right? And the scripture says we're blessed because of that. But he went on, he said, "For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." The difference between the body that he has now and the body that he had 3 days before that body, the life of that flesh was in the blood. But the body that he has now, the life of that body is a spirit. Amen. And if the same spirit which dwells in Jesus dwells in you according to the word of God, it will quicken. What's the word quicken mean? To make alive. To make alive. You see, when Paul said, "I die daily," that's really what he means. We died not physically, but spiritually. We die out to ourselves daily, amen, and rise in Christ as a choice.
Amen.
Now, when death walks in the room, not one person in here has a choice.
Amen.
Amen. I stood beside the bedside of many of them, and I've not seen one of them. When death comes, that was able, the Bible said that no man had the power to retain the Spirit in that day. Now, I can tell you there was a man, right? He gave his life, right? He said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up. Now, I said all of that, but I don't think that's really where I want to go tonight with this passage of Scripture. Jesus began to ask them a question. Why are you troubled, and what are these thoughts that arise? Why are you troubled, and what are these thoughts that arise in your hearts? Listen where he put that thought. There's a lot of things that can enter into here, but you and I hold the key. You and I hold the lock to the door of our heart that allow, where we allow thoughts to embed and affect our life in one way or the other. Agreed on that? Right? The Bible says the heart is the window, or the eyes are the window to the soul. In other words, it lets things in. I believe the ears are the windows to the heart. Because the things that we hear is what affects us. Here's what I know. If you constantly go around telling a child that that child is worthless, that child is no good, that child is ugly, that child is dumb, that child is stupid, you know what? That child will believe that. Yeah. And I'll go on to say it this way. If you begin to tell an adult the very same things, they will believe that. Why? Because our ears are the door to our heart. Now, remember, Jesus told these disciples over and over and over that he was going to die. Matter of fact, the day before he died, he said, I have desired to eat this meal with you before I suffer. He said, one of you is going to betray me into the hands of sinful men. They're going to crucify me. I'm going to be buried, but don't worry. 3 days later, I'm coming out. Now, where did they hear from? They heard from their ears, but somehow their hearts were locked up with doubt. Amen. And where there's doubt, there's fear. Amen. Why is there fear? Because perfect love has not entered therein. What is perfect love? God. These people had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. They had walked with him. They had broke bread with him. And everywhere Jesus went, they went. I mean, they were in the ship. Amen. Listen, they were on every coast. They saw the demons cry out. They saw him praised. They saw the dead raised, the dumb speak. Listen, and those that were blind to see, the lame begin to walk. They saw it all. But they didn't hear what he had to say. The average sermon is 20 minutes, 25 minutes or thereabouts, average. But do you realize that you'll only retain one or two things that I will say in 20 to 30 minutes? Why is it? Because not everything that's said enters into our heart. How do you know that, preacher? I know this. When you really are studying the Word of God, amen, listen, that this book, the Word that you, this Jesus, this Lord right here, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with Lord. The Word was God. So I can call this the Lord. When you begin to study the Lord, he will begin to speak to your heart. And only then, what you're reading from the page will enter into your heart. Oh, we can memorize things, right? And we can place them in our mind. We can, and a lot of people are big on memory, and they emphasize memory. Here's what I know. The Bible doesn't say memorize to show yourself approved. He said study to show yourself approved. So All these scriptures had not entered into their heart. It was that they were blinded to who he was. Right? Who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ. Amen. He said, you're blessed because man didn't tell you this, but my Father hath revealed it to you. So when we get down to the fact, why is it that we get are so easy to get troubled in our heart knowing what Jesus said? I mean, the majority of the people in this building, as I look across, no doubt have been saved for 20 years or more. Come on. Am I right? Look around the crowd. The minimum of 10. So you in 10 years, there's 52 Sundays, right? That's five. Let's say you missed a few. That's 500 sermons, not counting revivals, that you've heard in 10 years. Can you tell me any of them? There's a few things that we can stick out in our mind. Like all means all, right? There are certain things that stick out that grasp because it's something that we easily comprehend. But when the Holy Ghost, when God Himself begins to open our mind and our hearts and we begin to receive the engrafted Word of God into our heart. Now, when I was in school, I think it was sixth grade, one of our projects was that we had to graft two trees together. You know how you graft two trees together? Number one, you can't do it while the sap is up. It has to be when they're dormant in the wintertime. But you take a branch off of one tree and you cut the other tree that's standing in the ground. And you cut that limb, or you could, we use a sapling, which is a young tree. It's the best time to do it anyway. But we cut it on an angle. You know what? Couldn't do that with a dull knife. Had to have sharp. You see, the Word of God is sharp. Amen. The Bible said it's able to divide the marrow and the bone asunder. Hey, what's that mean? In one whack. You see, it didn't take God all day to save anybody. It didn't take God all day. Listen, it doesn't take Him years. Amen. Listen, to break the heart of a hard-hearted sinner. The Bible said the Word of God is the hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. Talking about the stony heart. But you cut that on an angle and you place them together. You know what you did next? You sealed it. With wax. Do you know that when God saved you, He sealed you with the Holy Spirit? He grafted you from the wild olive branch according to the Word of God. Amen. And brought you to the fruitful vine. Listen, and He sealed you. Why is it that He seals it? Number one, that the life-giving source, as it begins to flow, doesn't leak out through the cut. Right? Deb said, you know what I do? And I said, I put wax on. Deb said, you bandage it. That's the second thing. What does that mean? That means that you clothe the outside. You see, when God saved you, He not only sealed you, but He wrapped you in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Oh, I would to God that we could grab a hold of that. Amen. Why would you want me to grab a hold of that preacher? Because then you can stand tall in Christ and tell the world how good He is. You see, Jesus never backed down from anybody. He knew that they hated Him. Remember, He said, boys, He said, I think I'm going to go up to Jerusalem. Our friend Lazarus is sick. I'm going to go up. I'm going that way. Amen. Thomas said, don't you know, man, last time you was up there, they tried to kill you and they still want you dead. Jesus said, my hour is not yet. You see, He knew His hour. You and I don't. Amen. But what I know, amen, it's not me that gives me the strength to stand. Come on, What gives me the strength to stand is what I'm rooted in. Amen. Listen to me. Me being the wild branch, I am not. Hear me today. I am not of the root I was grafted in. If I fail to bring forth fruit, you know what he's going to do? He's going to cut me off and throw me in the fire. Why? Because somehow the seal was broken. Right? The ants or whatever kind of bug would get inside and eat out and destroy. You know, the devil doesn't come at you as a tornado. He just wants to get under your skin. And if he can get under your skin, amen, make you try to come alive within yourself. Amen. And think your thoughts. Take things into your own hands. You see, I have learned it doesn't do me any good to fight my battles. Why? I don't have any.
Amen.
Preacher, why don't you have any? Because my battles are his. They belong to him. My job is to stand and to bear fruit. Right? And if I stand and I bear fruit, number one, I'm a witness that I'm part of the branch. Or I'm part of the trunk that I've been engrafted to. Number two, I'm beneficial to somebody else because I'm bearing fruit in the root. There's too many people out here today, listen, that's trying to do things and build churches their way. And that's the world's way. Matt and I were talking. I said, you probably oughtn't have should have told him I was going to preach tonight. Well, the crowd was looking. We always joke about that. Here's one thing I know. And Matt, this is exactly Matt's words. He said, if two would be there, he'd be there too. Do you understand that? That God doesn't call you and say, all right, this is what I want you to do. Go do it. And come back later and tell me how it went. My first job was man clothing and furniture. And the warehouse was up the street from the main store. Now, how many knows that couches are heavier than pants and jackets and shoes? Pants and jackets and shoes are on the lower store floor. All the couches and recliners and everything else was up the stairs. And Brother Bob Perry, who was a fine Christian man, never married all of his life. Just stayed, I mean, he was in church constantly, good Christian man. You say, you can't be a businessman, be a Christian? He did. And he was a deacon. And he served the Lord faithfully until the day that he died. But Bob would call me and Harold, the guy that I worked with, and he'd come in, bring us in his office. He said, now we want to go up to the warehouse and we want to bring down such and such a sofa and couch and a love seat and bring it up and put it in the window on display. It didn't take me long to figure out that we meant me and Harold, not me, him, and Harold. You say, preacher, where are you going with this? God ain't that way. God doesn't call you and say, all right, I want you to go out there and I want you to bring this into the storehouse. And when you get it in here, I'm going to approve it or disapprove it. What God says, he says, come now. Let us reason together. Let us labor together. Let us think together. Let us work together. Let us go out together. You see, these disciples, when Jesus died, they were scattered according to the scriptures to fulfill the scriptures. But now they've come back together. Now they've got word that Jesus did exactly what he said he would, and they don't understand. Now, again, He had breathed upon them the Holy Spirit before, but they still weren't indwelt. Amen. He had gave them the commission before, but they still weren't indwelt. They still had not been born. They still wasn't converted. Right? Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. We're talking about Peter that walked on the water. When thou art converted, Peter, we're talking about Peter that lied and said, I don't know him, that cursed and said, I don't. But when you are converted, you know what happened when Peter was converted? His mouth began to change. His thoughts began to change. His actions began to change. And he could stand not in himself, but in Jesus and said, hey, these men are not drunk, but the same Jesus you crucified, he's risen again. This is his promise, and we're good.
Amen.
Come to him. 3,000 come to him. A few days later, the scripture doesn't tell us what Peter preached 3 days later or the next day, whichever it was. It says he preached, and 5,000 came to Jesus. That's 8,000 in two sermons. Oh my.
Yeah. Amen.
How many like to see that?
Amen.
Come on. I'll be honest. How many really like to see something like that? I'd like to see 100 come to Jesus. How many like to see 100 come to Jesus this year?
Amen.
Do you know that's possible?
Yeah.
How is it possible? Our server is in Savior. How's it, right? He lives, he lives. You ask me, listen, don't let fear and don't let doubt enter your heart. Stand firm on the Word of God, on the fact that Jesus lives and he ever lives to make intercession. Don't let your mind get troubled.
Amen.
Matt, this is for you. That worst thing for a pastor is this thing right here. Sister Deb knows what I'm talking about. And I'll be honest with you. The people sitting back there watch this thing way too much too. It's good sometimes, amen, to keep a record. It's good to keep records. Amen, but I'm going to tell you something. This doesn't determine, amen, this or this doesn't determine, amen, how this church is doing, whether or not the Spirit of God is flowing in our songs. The Spirit of God is flowing in our testimonies. The Spirit of God is flowing in our prayers. The Spirit of God is flowing in our witness out there. The Spirit of God is flowing in the sermon from the pulpit. That's what determines how a church is doing.
Amen.
And if those things are not working, listen, we're sick.
Yeah.
There's something wrong that needs attention.
Amen.
Don't tell me God can't save. Don't tell me God don't want to save. God is not willing, y'all ever read this? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and go back to Rick Barker's day. That all means all.
Amen.
We refer to that a lot here.
Yeah.
All means all.
Amen.
And I know people are tired. But I'm going to tell you something. I was here the day this number was put on this board. Me and Matt stood in each corner. The whole Sunday school. I'd give anything to do that again.
Amen.
And that record be broke. Don't tell me it can't happen. Don't tell me it can't happen. Amen. My Bible study this week was in the book of Nehemiah. Amen. Nehemiah and the people, amen, started working on the wall. And the guy said, hey, Nehemiah. He said, come on down here. So I need to talk to you. He said, I can't come. So I mean, they got a great work I'm working on. He knew, listen to me today, he knew that that man wanted to harm him. What do you mean, preacher? Be careful who you listen to.
Amen.
Be careful who you entertain and you allow to distract you away from your work.
Amen.
Next guy come by, he said, what do these feeble Jews Are they going to finish that wall in a day? If a fox run across that wall, it's going to fall down. Do you know that people's going to make fun of the way Matt and I preach? People's going to make fun of the way you testify. People are going to make fun of the way you shout and you get loud and you scream. People are going to make fun of you. Amen. But we're going to do it for the glory of God. We're going to lift our voices. We're going to pray. We're going to listen to tell the world that Jesus still saves.
Amen.
Today, we celebrate the very reason we can do these things.
Amen.
That man on that middle cross. I've heard that story that Alistair Begg, I don't know if most of you folks probably didn't know, that was Alistair Begg that told that story. Get up at 6:30 in the morning, turn on WEMM, he'll teach you something. He's pretty smart in the world of God. If you ain't figured it out, didn't figure it out. Amen. Listen, he was from Britain. Then people went from Cleveland over to hear him preach. When they got over there, amen, I don't know what they're paying him. But what I know is they begged him, would you please come to Parkside Church? Do you know that they've had to build 3 new churches since he's got there? 2 or 3, maybe I'm wrong, but 2 to 3 new churches, bigger churches. Why is that, preacher? Hey, listen, he wasn't compromising the Word of God. He doesn't compromise the Word of God, but he preaches it.
Amen.
When the Word of God is preached, lives are changed. Lives are changed. So why are we fearful? There's a song that Mike and Teresa Blanton sings. And by the way, if you ain't heard, Mike Blanton's going to be at White Oak this week. If you get a chance, go out. Mike is a tremendous preacher, and I'm sure that his family will be singing. But they said, the song says, why should I worry? Why should I fear? For the very same Jesus is always so near.
Amen.
Matt? This is the promise he made you, buddy. I will never leave you.
Yeah.
I'll never forsake you.
Amen.
I'll go with you all the way to the end,
amen,
son.
Brother.
He's called you. He's set you apart. He's sanctified you. He's filled you with the Spirit. He's given you more knowledge. He's helping you. Don't quit. Don't give up. Tell the story about Jesus, Earl. He's
amen.
Called you into the office of being a deacon. Do the fulfill the office. The Bible said if any man desire the office of a deacon, he desires a good work.
Amen.
I ain't the pastor, but I'm going to throw this out. If you've got deacon's papers and you don't want to work, quit. Hand your papers in.
Amen. Amen.
You're hurting yourself and the church. Just being honest about it. The work's great. How did Nehemiah start out? Nehemiah heard the distress of the people in Jerusalem. You see, Nehemiah wasn't in trouble. Man, he was standing at the right hand of the man in power. He was the king's cup bearer. He had the best wine. He tasted the best of the food for him. Listen, he had a pretty good gig going on. But he heard how the brethren were in distress back in Jerusalem, how the city was burned down, how the walls had been turned down. And you know what he did? He mourned, he fasted, and he prayed to the God of heaven. And he said, oh God, give me favor. You know what he said? God heard my prayer. I love that. God granted my petition. And his direct prayer was, he said, God, he said, the man before whom I stand, he's the king. Would you give me favor in his eyes that he may grant that I go back to the place, go back to Jerusalem, that I repair the temple, that I rebuild the walls. God, and would you grant the fact that he paid for it? Did you know that? The Persians rebuilt Jerusalem after the Babylonians destroyed it. Every vessel that Nebuchadnezzar carried away into Babylon, the Persians sent them back not once but twice under Ezra and Nehemiah. He said, let everybody with a willing heart, let them go back home and let them rebuild the cities. Let them build houses. Most of all, let them repair the altars of their God, who is the God of gods. Do you know that 70-some years before that, No, I'm wrong, that Jeremiah prophesied. So a couple hundred years or so before that, Jeremiah prophesied that Cyrus would tell him to go home. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God called the king out by name. I read when they laid the temple, the foundation of the temple, that the young people began to shout. And the old people begin to mourn and to weep. You know, the greatest thing that's lacking in churches today, I've been around a while, is weeping. We're all about shouting. We're all about praising. When do we ever come to the altar and wet before God? When do we ever get alone in our prayer closet and weep before God? That's pretty good preaching, whether you like it or not. Because that's what needs to take place. When Zion travails, what happens? What happens, Matt? Sons and daughters are born. How many of you women never had a child? Hold your hand up. Did you go in there, Lord Matthew, you've had four, right? Did you just stroll in there and say, all right, I'm ready. Plop. Nope. What happened was that she spent hours in agony, in misery. Right, ladies? It hurts. What happened at the end? There was a child born. And the very moment that that child was birthed, I watched my granddaughter be born. And my baby girl was screaming, I can't do it, I can't push, I can't push. She's saying, oh God, help me, I can't. Screaming and crying in pain. Come on, girls. And that's with an epidural, right? And then all of a sudden, I popped little Gabby. And it was all my tiny baby girl. It went from sorrow and agony to joy. It's still joy. Listen, that's what happens when the church travails. When we begin to leave tears. The old altar used to be right there. I would venture to say if that old wood is still there, there's probably some tear stains across that altar. I remember the church that I was saved in before they ever put carpet down. You literally could look across that altar and see puddles when moms and dads were crying out for their children to get saved. Now, maybe all your kids are saved. Maybe not.
Amen. Come on.
They are blessed. We don't need to pray God bless our children. We need to pray God humble their will. The old timers prayed like this, and I'll come to a close. God, would you make their bed too hard, their cover too short, and their beans too salty. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I love pinto beans, but if you put too much salt in them, oh, Lord, you don't want to eat them. Too much. You've got to have the right amount of salt in everything. That's what gives it flavor. Let's make our minds up. We're going to fill these pews with God's power, not ours. because it ain't in me. It ain't in Matt. It ain't in the Neal family or anybody else. It's in God. For it is in Him that we live, we move, we have our being. Come on, Matt.
You've been listening to the Addison Free Will Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. You can find more information and explore our outreach ministries on our website at addisonfwbchurch.org. Thank you for listening.